I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Carlos Santana. Michael Musselman. And Mike's, he hasn't told anybody this, but he's opening, he doesn't have a website yet, but he's got an 800 number, and it's a sympathy line. If you like stub your toe, if you're like bothered by anthills, if you have anything that's going on in your life and you want a shoulder to cry on, yeah, you want sympathy, just call this number.
Call me. Yeah.
Well, and here's the question, though. Why does your wife continue to? She like, I think that's how she gets your. It's how she gets your attention and affection.
It's like ankle's swollen. That's it. So this my ankle's swollen. What'd you do? I kicked. It must have been when I was kicking the ball for blitz. Who don't kick the ball anymore for blitz? And it's like, well, I don't. I want to. Then okay. No, I just said about kicking the ball.
I just saw. Give me your thoughts on this. I just saw. You know, I have on a monitor. the news and today all over the news is Senator McCain is lying in state now in the rotunda of the Capitol. And so they go outside, and some reporters talk, and here's this dude with the flag upside down with his own personal protest. And I got it, we got a First Amendment, but there's a hot place in hell for that son of a bitch. You know, time and place for everything, boys and girls. Protesting at funerals, take that shit and go someplace else with it, okay? Figure out another way to articulate your message. But that shit pisses me off.
Yeah. What can you do?
Yeah.
What?
No, you know, the only thing you do is you can go to church and pray for extinction.
Yeah. Well, there's you can take the person out, but then there's a price to pay for that.
Yeah.
Get your lawn chair, get your favorite drink ready to go, and then when the sirens sound, grab your lawn chair, get out on the lawn and watch the comet get ready for the collision course. Sure.
Yeah. There you go. There you have it. So, do you think most people will enjoy the advice they get from the gunner's sympathy line?
No. No one should really enjoy it, but it's the truth. Yeah. Gunner, I don't know. So it'd be like, Gunner, yes. Man, I'm obesely overweight. So what do you eat? Do you exercise? No. Do you eat? Yeah. What do you eat? McDonald's and Burger King. No. Okay. You want some advice now? Yeah. All right. Hold on. You know, the advice I give is what, you know, yeah, for the most part, you don't want to hear. Because that's the truth. You know, and we've talked about this. People always said, oh, I want the truth. I want people to tell me the truth.
Nah.
It's like, no, you don't. Really no don't. One wants to hear the truth. You're lying already.
Stop.
How can you start off a question when you're lying already? You know? No one wants to hear that.
Just,
you know, and you tell them the truth, and they're like, good God, you know, or you get to, you have to be so mean about it.
Yeah, they get their feelings hurt. And, you know, my process of discovery is when you're married, your wife says things like, do I look fat in this, right? Or they walk in after they get their hair done, like, what do you think? And you look,
right.
And your brain's saying, that looks like shit, man. What happened to you? But your mouth has to say, it looks awesome. You look beautiful. Because You don't want to go down that road. Because if you ever went down that, and most guys do go down that road once, and you're just like, it looks awesome. You didn't even look at it. I know, but I know it looks awesome.
Right.
You don't, like, why won't you tell me the truth? And then you come to Mike's conclusion. Because the truth is not always the best course of action.
Right. You know, so those that are listening, probably when they first said something about the mass extinction event, they're like, oh, Gunner, you're being crazy. But after a while, when they start thinking about it, now that this has been months, they're like, you know what? That makes so much sense. Gunner's right. And now the same thing. They're like, Gunner is so damn callous and coarse. He doesn't care. And then after a while, they're like, you know what? Gunner's right again. Let's just stop pushing back on Gunner. Just accept what I have to say.
Just make him the emperor and get it done with.
Yes, make me king. I will fix the problem.
In the Marine Corps Times this week, I'm still kind of.
Oh, why?
There was an again.
I'm coming off a high today.
No, really, but I'm going to link it to your brilliance. Mike and I have talked about the comment section. If you ever want to another reason to pray for the mass extinction of the planet, just read the comment section of anything.
I
don't care what it is.
No, you're right. Yeah.
Anything, and you're just like. The world needs to go away. Whoever decided that comets were a good thing, that we need to put that person to death.
No, and you're so, right. I don't give a shit about what you think. I don't care. So if I wanted your input, I would have asked you for your input. You know, I used to say that in Machnos, that I used to say that in active duty to everybody. Care less. Hey, Gunner, you didn't ask me what I felt about that. Whatever. Mm-hmm. You're right. And they look at me like, well, aren't you going to ask me then? No, why would I do that? That'd be stupid. If I didn't ask you in the first place, why would I ask you now? Well, I got something to add. I'm sure you do. And so does everybody else in this room, but I don't give a shit what you have to add.
Yeah.
Well, that's being kind of,
arrogant.
Pompous and whatever.
When the Marine Corps.
Yeah, it is. I know.
When the Marine Corps Center for Lessons Learned, when they write about this, then feel free to comment on it.
Yeah. You know, and I love people when they point out, they say that, well, you're being arrogant. Anything else you want to point out that's Mr. Obvious? Yes, I know I'm being arrogant. I never said I was not being arrogant. You know, and they look at you like, why are you going to be a dick? Once again, you've said something clearly defined as the truth. Are we going to go for three? And then they just walk away. They realize, because, again, you know, people always say this, well, you know, like, why didn't you do this? Why didn't you do that? I don't like committees. The only committee I like is the committee of me. The me committee.
Well, they go down
why
that
don't
road.
I like
they go down that road, and then here's what they find out. Well, wait a minute. He talked to Bronzy.
But see, I ask opinion for people, I do. I only ask opinion for people that their opinion matters to me. You, Bronzy, Luke, you know, everybody. Dave, Rudy, Metro. I mean, those are the type of guys that I would come in and ask your opinion. Who would come in and ask? I mean, why would, you know, for someone like, I'm not going to name names because if they listen, I don't want to.
Come on. Come on. Name a few.
Baby. I could care less what Master Guns wanted, right? Not the one that we were talking about, but the other one. Yeah. I could care less. I don't want his opinion. You know? And in some cases, I don't want it or it takes too much time to get your opinion solicited in the first place. Let's just make a decision, go with it, and then we'll make a rudder steer along the way. Course correction. You know what easy course corrections are? They're simple. You know what's the hardest thing to do? A decision. Make a goddamn decision and move on with your life. And then just, it's simply as simple as a little bit of rudder steers here and there, keeping the boat off the rocks. And again, you're not navigating an ocean or a lake, boys and girls. You're navigating a creek or a stream. It's narrow. It's windy. It's full of rock, full of twists. You got to keep your eye what's going on and your hand on the rudder at all times.
Okay, and here's how it gets better,
the
though.
Bogart. What was the Bogart movie when the Jungle Queen?
African Queen.
African Queen.
He and Catherine Hepburn.
That is your life. So that is your boat. You're the boat in that movie is your life. The river is your life experiences. Keep the boat off the rocks. That's all you have to do.
Whoa, we got deep there. But the funny part is, like, then there's this conversation because a lot of those people won't let it go. Well, why did they ask Bronzy and not me? Okay, well, let me explain this to you. He asked guys who perform their way into kind of a status that he would respect. Well,
yeah.
He doesn't ask you by virtue of billet or anything else. You have to
perform. Circle of
your
trust.
Yeah,
you
can't get papers.
You burn your way in there. Your resume doesn't get you into the door. Your performance does.
No. You can't. That's why they don't talk to you. They say hi to you, and they're nice to you, and they'll joke with you.
No.
But they don't.
We surround ourselves with like people.
I know, but we're nice to everybody else till they give us a reason not to be nice, though.
No, you're absolutely right. But now my inner circle of friends are the same as you guys. They're different as far as they weren't Marine.
Right. No,
I rely on.
I met them. I met them. They're the
same. Buck's opinion matters to me. Ralph's opinion matters to me. Ron. I mean, those type of people. Now I have other people around here, and they're good people, but I don't seek their opinion. Does it matter to me? Sure. Does it really? I mean, in the whole sense of everything? No, not at all. Because I don't, I ask opinions from people that they don't even understand. They're like, well, I'm not qualified to give that kind of answer. I'm not looking for the answer. I'm looking at what you would do because I value you as a person.
Right, in your opinion.
What would you do? I don't care if you know nothing about the subject. I'm going to pose the dilemma to you, and what would you do as a person that I respect?
Oh, okay. And then they give it to you. What? You've had a pretty crazy 24 hours? 48
hours?
Yeah,
crazy, dude. You know it to be crazy too. I mean, I told you about it.
All right. So tell everybody.
Okay. So I think I told this story. I don't know if I did it online, but I think I did, or on the radio about a couple weeks ago now, and maybe it was a week ago. Hell, I don't even know. But a total stranger I talked to, talked to her about really how she looked and dressed and everything else, and then it turned out here's a person suffering from some type of trauma in her life. So we talked about the whole, you're not messed up. You're normal. Don't ever think that you're the one that's the problem here. You're not the problem. You're the normal one. You're the strong one. The weak ones are the ones that did this to you. You know, bullies are weak. That's why they're bullies. They don't know how to express any other way. So, you know, they're not the strong one. They're actually the weakest of them all. So, the other day, we're celebrating Mr. Vic's 101 birthday. You know, Mr. Vic has been an icon figure in Erath County, the county next to us. We've met him by just going in there one day in the cafe and seeing him, and then end up talking to him because he's a small town America, right?
Right.
So we celebrated his 100th birthday last year this time. So we go out there for his 101st birthday this time. And Mr. Vic is full of stories that you can just sit back and listen to. You just get him started, and they're like, you know, here's a guy who was born in 1917 when Woodrow Wilson was president. You know, man, if you don't spend time to just pick his brain and what his life experiences are, what a wasted opportunity. I mean, what a crazy waste of a great opportunity to meet somebody of importance. And I'd rather sit with Mr. Vic and listen to his stories than, you know, any politician or anybody of celebrity or anything like that. I mean, Mr. Vic means more to me than any couple of them, but in any day. But anyway, young girl, I'm talking to you on the radio, on the phone, and she's listening to some of the conversation, and when I get done, she says, you deal with trauma. And I said, well, you know, I do, because I'm a victim of it, of physical trauma and mental trauma, but I help others because I've figured out the solution for me. And maybe that solution for me is the solution for you. So we get talking, and she goes, well, crazy story is I'm also a victim of trauma. And she's a victim when she was a child. She was molested. She was basically raped by a family member. And the rest of her family kind of shunned it or looked the other way and told her, you know, don't say anything. But you cringe, like, what? Yeah. Who in their right mind does that? But then it goes back to our conversation of irrational people. That irrational thought does that. So don't try and rationalize that. That's how people are wired.
Right.
You know? So we get to talking, and she goes, you know, I've been carrying this burden with me for a long time, and I want it to end. I want to share my burden. I want it to start to go away. And I said, well, first of all, that'll never go away. Sorry to tell you that. It'll never go away. You just have to accept it. And it's okay to be damaged. It's okay. There's nothing saying that it's wrong. There's nothing saying that you're the crazy one. You just go on with your life. And you define it. Don't let it define you. And so after talking to her for about an hour, she goes, you know, I've wanted to, for the longest time, to tell someone my story, and, you know, authorities, I just never had the nerve. And so I said, well, here, what are you doing tomorrow? She said, well, really nothing. Why? And I said, well, let's get this. I'll meet you for coffee. We'll talk about it some more. And if you really want to do it, I'll go with you. And we'll go and report this and have the authorities take action on it. And, you know, and her it really was like, she do this? I mean, I don't even know you. And I said, of course. I mean, why wouldn't I do it? Well, this is what I'm looking at, like, what? I mean, right. Who in the right mind wouldn't take help somebody that needs to be helped, you know, in time of need?
Now, and again, just let me stop you. So this is a girl who was listening to Mike as he was on with me, and we were talking about, Mike had listened to Peggy's interview that you'll hear next week, and Mike and I were talking a little bit about it. And so this girl's listening to this, and we've said, and this is at Mr. Vic's 101st birthday party, okay? So this is a scenario, and then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, right, this girl hears this. And one of the things Mike and I have said on this is, the truth needs no salesman. And people that suffer from trauma, when they hear these basic things that we're talking about, you're not going to get over it, right? It's okay to be damaged. When they hear that shit, they're like, right, who are you? Where did you come from? Are you from Krypton? So anyway, so Mike, and look, Mike's he just went to a birthday party. That's what he went to do. Keep going. That's what's incredible about this.
Yeah, so I mean, this is a testimony to Peggy and what she said and what she's done. You know, this is the first person that, from Peggy's interview, is Peggy helped this woman. Because of the conversation you and I had about your sister Peggy, you know, Peggy indirectly helps this young girl deal with her fact of accepting who she is, you know, the become who you are type of scenario. And we go to the sheriff's department today, you know, this morning, and we sit with the investigator, and she starts, you know, divulging information to the point where, and I told her, I said, at this point, I'm going to excuse myself because, you know, this is a private thing that you need privacy for, you know, and between you and her, I will be there. You know how to get in touch with me. But you know, it was just astonishing to me that, again, that one, that no one would help. No one stood in, you know. Hell, and in cases, they blamed her. I mean, for the longest time, she thought she was the problem. You know, after talking to me, it was
Mike,
like,
how old was she when it happened?
5.
Oh, shit.
Mm-hmm.
How do you blame a 5-year-old? Right?
Special place in hell for that person.
Oh, man. Then let me tell you, magnitude's hotter than a jackass with the flag upside down at John McCain's funeral. Magnitudes.
Yeah. But, you know, this is that whole, again, it goes back to, hadn't it been for, again, for the story that Peggy told, then we would never have had the conversation and I would have never met this girl. It was, just wouldn't happen. So things happen for a reason, you know, and this is how you help others cope with their ordeals, their trauma. It may not be similar in the fact of what happened. I mean, this woman didn't lose a child, but what she lost was her innocence. It's she went through a traumatic period in her life. She doesn't know how to deal with it. But now she's like we talked about today, she's on the road. And like I told her, I said, this is, you know, it's going to be a journey.
Right.
But this is just the start. And you're going to feel this euphoric sense of relief afterwards. You take that and you redirect that to positive and good things will happen. You know, but it was really a really good moment, for both of us. Especially for her, like I said, you know, I couldn't imagine what she's been through, the things that she was forced to do and endure, and then carry on with her life. You know, again, always wondering why. Why did this happen to me? And I told her, I said, stop worrying about why it did. And then let's move on from there. What can you do with this now? You know, turn this around. And, you know, and she'd been through counselors, and they never approached this type of subject like that. You know, they never asked those questions like I did. You know, and she even asked me, even the cop asked me, she's like, what's your professional background in counseling? And I said, nothing. I mean,
I'm a gunner.
Yeah. It was funny that the poor deputy, she was like, I could see this face, like she's just not understanding. I said, you know, don't worry about it, you know. but yeah, it was just, it was a very surreal moment. It was just crazy.
Don't worry about it. Don't worry about what I am. You're like who's that guy? Who's that guy? I don't know. He's some dude who walks through town. He saves people.
Yeah. that's it. I was talking to Buck about it today.
He's Superman.
Buck, I told Buck, you know, we were talking about it. I said, man, 3 years ago when I first met you, I would have never thought you were you'd grow into the person that you are now. And now he said the same thing about me. He goes, now, what about, you know, and I was like, yeah, I know, it's crazy, huh? Crazy.
You know, Mike, and it's interesting, you and I are talking about this. What an incredible natural high, you know? Mike calls me yesterday afternoon, and he's like, dude, you will not believe what just happened to me. I'm like, what? He goes, somebody was listening as you and I were talking about Peggy's interview and came up to me. And then he kind of tells me the story as it was to there. And he's like, it just keeps happening to me. And it's only going to happen more, quite honestly, right? As you know, the forum grows, because there's so many people who live with it. And again, to me, the thing that makes my heart heavy is they don't have people like, again, mine was Gunner Sergeant Lance Y. Hey, you know, you're never going to get over this. And as much as it irritated me when he said it to me, I knew he was telling me the truth. And then when he said, that comes from Vietnam. And I was like, And I'll tell you what, some of the best advice I ever got. And then when you think about people going in to see therapists and getting medicated with powerful drugs that rewire. Yes, that will change you, and then get asked consistently, well, how did that make you feel? And it's this total inward focus on, you know, your, and it, in my opinion, it just creates this dependency, and it creates weakness. It doesn't create strength.
And no, yeah, it's the big thing of making someone a dependent.
Right. Right. And if the goal
or putting
is
the burden on them to solve their own problems.
Yeah, if the goal is to make them strong, then like, how are you doing that? Why is this, you know, how does me talking about, how did that make you feel? And you know what, Mike, I liken it to, like, when my kids were little, when the boys were little especially, and I've done it with all of them, but, you know, they would fall down, right? And you know when they look up and they look at you, I would look and say, did you just dent the driveway? And they'd be like, oh, I'm going to get in trouble. They'd be like, whoa. And I said, did you? And they'd look around. So instead of crying, like, they'd look down and they'd get up and they'd start running. I'd say, come here. And then I'd do something my dad did to me that I always thought was pretty cool. I'd spit on my hands, right? And then I'd rub whatever scrape they had. I'm like, are you all right? And they'd say, yeah. And they'd be gone. But if you look at that same kid when they fall down and you say, oh, honey, are you okay? What do you get? You get the waterworks. No,
yeah.
I fell down. And so to me, there's an element of that is here. When you validate somebody's idea that I'm damaged, I'm broken, good fucking luck with that. Good fucking luck with that. And so that's what I think is so cool about the truth. You're not getting over it. You'll learn to coexist with it. But what's happened to you is awesome, but crazy
is the word.
You need to stop talking, though. I was going to say you need to stop talking so loud, but maybe you need to talk louder when you go places.
Yeah, no kidding, huh?
Hey, yeah, blah. Like, why is that guy shouting? And why are all those people walking over to him? Oh, he's some dude named the Gunner. What? Actually, my sister reduced him. I sent something to Peggy that Mike sent to me, and she said, the Gunny sent that? I said, the Gunny did.
Yeah.
got reduced. That's all right, though. Gunny's a good rank. I'll tell you, to be honest with you, if there's one time in Mike's life when I wish I could have seen him operate, knowing how funny he is, it's as a gunnery sergeant, being lord of the manor. That shit would have been moderately entertaining. I'm not going to lie to you.
That was a fun time.
Yeah. Let me read you an email. I've listened to this program since probably 6 months into it. And to be honest with you, if I didn't know better, I would swear to God that you guys were making this stuff up.
Huh. I wish.
Yeah. I can make stuff up, but I would say, okay, we got to dial that one back, okay? We got to dial that one back. That's a little bit much. And
Yeah.
The coolest part of all of it? It's all legit. It's all true.
It all actually happens.
To include the anthill and Tina's ankle being swollen because she kicked a soccer ball.
Yeah.
Hey, Mac, ask the Gunner about his culinary advice. Labor Day coming up, big grilling weekend in the upper Midwest. Last big weekend at the lake place, probably go a couple more times and then close it down. Give everybody something exotic to do, something exotic to cook on a grill. Exotic.
Exotic?
Exotic.
Like not something normal?
Not normal, yeah. There you go. Very good.
I would, I'd do swordfish. Do a firm fish.
A firm fish. Swordfish.
Yeah, do swordfish. Swordfish, you don't hear swordfish much. Swordfish is a good steak. a steak fish.
Yeah, you hear when people want to, like, actually, you used to hear it years ago, if you wanted to grill a fish, right? Before grilling, I think, got really sophisticated, swordfish was, or shark, some forms of shark, where it said, yeah, there's more texture to those fish, and they won't fall apart on the grill. So grill those. That's where I first heard about swordfish. Do you any kind of rub that you use? How do you prefer it when you cook it?
I like it just with salt and pepper. I don't really like a lot of seasoning when it comes to fish.
Wow.
Just good old salt and pepper.
The chef says it's the same thing. Yeah. Salt, I'm a salt and pepper guy. I don't like a whole lot of stuff on it when it's prepared.
No, the natural flavor is what you're going after, so.
All right. Swordfish. There you have it. What do you, anything in particular that you serve with swordfish?
Like fish, well, Tina makes a ridiculous good, she just made this, mango salsa that is to die for, man. God. So good, you can put it on anything. But this would be really good. It's like that sweet, so you get the sweet of the mango. But she's got the onions, the cilantro, the jalapenos in it. And then the next day, you know, it sits in the refrigerator and has that, just sweats that flavor, and they combine. It's so good. And then she makes also a corn relish that is just as equally as good. Where she boils the corn and then sautés the onions to get a little bit translucent, mixes with cilantro and onions and jalapenos in the corn, the sweet corn. And that is, So I would tell you do that. Do a mango type salsa on top of the swordfish with a side of the corn, like a corn relish. And believe me, you won't go wrong. And then you can drop in some asparagus or, you know, something like that.
There's another email. Matt, I got a question about the Gunner's personal life. A few weeks ago, you mentioned that his wife got a new job and he was talking about it. Does she like her new job? Yeah.
She loves it. Loves it. Absolutely loves it. Loves the people that she works with. The judge that she works for is probably the pinnacle when it comes to, he defined as a good person, is a great person. The other ladies around are fun. They're laughing. They're always having a good time. It's been a long time where she's actually been, she looks forward to the next day. You know, going in there and then the interaction of everything. So, yeah, it's been great.
That's awesome. You know what? It's.
Well, you met Danny, Danny Tuggle, when he was here, and his wife, Tink. Yeah. Two of the best people that you could, you know, possibly call your friends.
Yeah, I focus kind of on Tink, right? Because that's like a weird name.
Yeah, Tink.
Yeah. What kind of name is Tink?
Well, that's her nickname.
Right. So then we discuss what kind of name Tink is. And I was kind of fascinated by it. Don't ask me why I was. Here's another email. As somebody who listens on a regular basis, just wanted to shoot you guys a note. I can hear in your voices the excitement you two have as you guys discuss these things. Pretty cool. Honestly, pretty cool. So much of what is...
Well, it's pretty cool because other people are, you know, they're finding themselves.
Let me finish this. So much of veterans that we read about is so negative, and it is so cool to hear you guys talk about the joy you get from helping other people, whether they be veterans or not, and also the way you articulate this journey you're on, and this final piece of coming home, fitting into a community, and then helping not only veterans in the community, but anybody who's affected by trauma and using the special place that veterans have in a community as a forum to preach that stuff. I think it's awesome. I'll begin doing the same thing here and reaching out. Previous, I'd only spoken about that stuff to veterans. Listening to the excitement in the Gunner's voice, and Mac, your voice yesterday when you were talking about the interview that you done with your sister. Honestly, I can't wait to listen to it. And I just wanted to bust off a note. I've never emailed the program before to say that simply the tone of your voices has inspired me to get involved. Good on both of you. Semper Fidelis. Have a great weekend.
Cool.
Yeah. No, you can't hide it either. You can't hide it. And it's I don't even know how to describe it. It's like helping a Marine, right? And the joy that you got from that. And then when you left the Marine Corps, it's like, well, is that part of my life over? And all of a sudden you're discovering like, no, maybe the greatest contribution that I'll make is in front of me. To all these people who I don't even know their lives. And
yeah.
And to look at veterans and say, you don't need those drugs, right? You need some training on wellness practices. And then keep on the same great road you've been on, a road of hard work, a road of discipline, and a road to success and the better things in life. Keep doing
right.
Those things. You know, and that's the gospel. And it's you can't hide it either. You can't hide it. Colleen asked me, why are you in such a good mood? I said, because I'm happy.
Tina asked me that today. She said, you seem very chipper. Yeah.
And then she said, maybe I'll ask him about my ankle. And then we go right back into Gunner's pessimistic counseling program.
Yeah, some things never change.
I just think that's Tina's way of getting your attention. She looks across the room and she's like, oh, there's Mr. Krusty Krab over there. Let me have him tell me he loves me. Honey, my ankle's swollen. Just reeling that fish in. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I know. I'm the bad guy.
No, she just, come on, you're her Romeo. Yeah, go figure. Tina's got issues.
Yeah,
Tina's got issues, all right? I said that to Ken Rogers, who made the documentary Bravo, that documentary. So we're at a funeral for his company commander who passed away. The dude that wrote the letter to his family saying that for me, heaven was being here with you. Something I'll never forget in my life. Continuing to lead even in death. And so I meet Rogers. And afterwards, you go to VFW to have a drink. So Rogers is, even at the age of 60-something, he's still a pissed-off Lance Corporal, right? And so
right. He's
mouthing off and being a jackass. And I looked at her, and I said, and you find that attractive? I said, look, he's got issues, and you're attracted to that? You've got bigger issues than he does. You, like, got to run with the bad boys and all that? And she started laughing. I'm like, really? Now we're getting to the bottom of all this. And she started laughing. She goes, it's my fatal flaw. I said, I guess. But it's kind of funny. It's kind of funny.
Attracted to broken guy.
Exactly. The here's another email. Mac, please shut up about the interview with your sister. The rest of us have not heard it. And you're driving us crazy with it. All right.
Yeah,
all right.
It's a pretty powerful. It is the most powerful discussion I've ever heard.
Yeah. Let me just so everybody knows, it's not a cheery discussion. It's a great discussion. It's 22 years in the making. Things that she and I have never even discussed. Right? I mean, why would you take somebody you love back to that place? And the answer is you wouldn't do that. But again, the inspiration for the interview is Mike and I's experience in not only helping veterans, but now helping people that aren't veterans, and all these things that keep happening, starting with Luke's fiance Emma in their living room, who suffered her own trauma, and you know, and who our broad lens covers Emma. And when we walked out of here, away from them that night, before we even got to the gas station, we're driving to Mike's pickup, and I said, how cool is it that the things we're saying and the broader approach that we take encompassed Emma, and she felt comfortable enough to talk about it. And Mike looked at me and said, dude, that was awesome. And it's just, and then we stop at this fucking gas station, right? And then we're there for an hour or so, right? And that, and it's like, and then so it was good on top of good on top of good. And we end talking to these dudes about trauma and how to live with it. Like, who are you guys? Like, what are you doing?
Preaching the word.
John the Baptist, man, rolling through the desert, preaching the gospel. And you know, the other thing you realize, there's so many people that live with it. They do it with science.
The more you find out about it, the more, it's like the more people have it. Everybody does. You know, and like I said, you can't start healing until you accept it of who you are. And once you accept that fact, and then you accept that, you know what, it's never going to go away. I just need to learn to live with this. And this is how I'm going to learn. This is how I'm going to live. That's when life starts getting better.
Yeah.
You know? Has it been working out this whole time? Try this. Believe me. Can't get you any worse.
Right. Right. And again, the cool thing, and again, this is the last thing I'll say about the interview with Peggy. You know, Peggy, at one point, she talks about, again, this broader approach, and Mike talking about the Elizabeth Smart movie. That you guys just aren't stuck on the Marine Corps and veterans and things like that. You find inspiration from other places and broader to tears, that you guys find as much courage outside of the military as you do inside.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, we see it all the time.
Yeah, you know, veterans aren't they don't have the market on that type of courage. That courage exists in every one of us. You know, how we deal with our lives, how we go on with things that we've suffered. You know, those things are just as, if not more than, you know, physical or mental courage. Because it's a lifestyle. Putting trust in things that you normally wouldn't do. So yeah, it's a huge thing, man.
Right. Now, and one of the things I like most about this kind of blue collar mental health stuff that we learned a lot of it while on active duty from other people is, you know, again, mine came from a gunny, man. He's like 6'5". He finished high school. And those words of wisdom, and you know, Jeremiah's, don't let the monkeys out of the cage. I mean, look, that guy wasn't a PhD, I can tell you that. But,
yeah, Rihanna's song of I Made Friends with the Monsters Under My Bed.
Yeah, that Eminem.
Not only I made friends, yeah, I named them. And when I'm not there, they have chores to do.
Eminem, he's an honorary graduate from high school, okay? He didn't walk across the stage, but the cool part is, you when somebody hears the truth, man, like Mike's experience at a birthday party, somebody's ear got tuned up. This woman's ear got tuned up when she heard him talking about trauma, and then the things that he said resonated in her so much. That she walked up to him. Something she's never done in her life. That's how powerful.
Well, she was sitting next to me. Yeah, she was sitting there next to me.
Well, and you loud talking, so she was like, couldn't get away from it.
Right, I know. My problem.
I know. Blue cheese stuffed basil stuffed filet wrapped in bacon, slow rolled on the grill. Boom.
Oh, yeah. Boom.
That's from Probation Man up in Montana.
Yeah. Okay, there's a, he's another good deed. Community service.
So, I know, but then he'll get lippy and he's going to get his whatever suspended in his sentence. That's just
that's a parole violation, and then
going to get vacated on his ass.
Yeah. Yeah, we should condemn him just to positive notes for the next year. You can only say positive things.
Yeah. He, like you, though, is a little bit nervous about the Red Sox. I don't know why. Let me tell you, this is hilarious.
I am, too.
Hilarious. So last night, the Yankees going into the ninth inning are ahead 7-5. Okay? No. Yeah, 7-5. The Red Sox, I think, are they were down 4-0. They had tied that game at 4-4. So our buddy from New York, Chris Bronzy, who's a Yankee fan, he texts me, as soon as the ball clears the fence on a two-run home run in the bottom of the ninth, that ties the game up. The Tigers tie the Yankees at top of the ninth. Ties the game up. He's like, Bronzy's like, wah, 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 man, I hate this. And so as I'm reading it, the next guy up hits another home run. And I said, well, if you didn't like the two-run home run, what'd you think about that one? And he just snapped. And I said, and Bronze, you know the Red Sox are going to win. He said, I know. They never lose. They never lose. The Red Sox win 9-4.
9-4, yeah. From a 4-0 deficit, yeah.
And it was like 4-0 in like the sixth. Yeah. It was like 4-0 in the sixth inning.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Montana Man says, Salem Price fighting minor injuries makes me nervous. The Red Sox are trying to do the Secretariat impersonation, wire to wire.
Yeah, but you know what's going on for them is they have this belief that even when they're down like that, they haven't lost yet. That's a great thing, man. Don't lose that, boys.
You know what? And it's the way good units are. There's just a confidence. Right? There's just this confidence, and when you're around it, you can feel it in the air. You can sense it in the way they go about their business, their professionalism, their thoroughness. It's just it's so intoxicating. And it was with that group in Afghanistan. For us, it was like it's all these great. I'm not talking about good, and I'm not using great lightly. I could use a lot of different adjectives right here. When I say great, I mean great. They're great guys, and they perform their way into this elite level of the Marine Corps, where you look and say, he said he's got it, I don't have to worry about it at all, I'm on to this, as opposed to saying, yeah, he said he got it, but let me check on him, I need to keep tabs. But it's not that way at all. And it's just intoxicating, and then you perform your way and you build this thing. And that's what the Red Sox have done this year, man. How could they, as a team, not have, hey, we'll get these guys, hang with the boys, one at bat at a time, one pitch at a time.
They, to an individual on that team, have the strong belief that it's the war is the game. The battles are the nine innings. You can lose some of the battles. Just don't lose the war. And they do. You know, they were down. They were down 4-0 and 6. They six innings they had lost. Six battles. All they have to do is win, and in their mind is they just got to win one battle. Win one battle, get enough runs, and the battle's over, or the war's over. And they've done that countless amount of times. I mean, there's been times where they were down, they lost all eight battles, but then all you had to do is win that one, and they came back and won the war. You know, and it's like, oh my God. And there's a big testimony to life like that too, you know.
No doubt.
Yeah, you know, and it's kind of like what you and I had discussed before, and kind of we talked about it, and I think Peggy alluded to it, is the fact that just hold on for that minute. You know, all it takes is you just keep winning, you keep holding on for the 1 minute. Minute turns to hours, hours turns to days, days turns to years. and you're winning. But too many times we get too many, we look too far ahead and like, oh, we get, you know, that's how I think some of these guys lose the battle with their lives is the fact that they look too far out. And they're like, oh, I don't know how I can do that. All you got to do is the minute by minute.
So Montana Man's, let me read this. Where did this probation thing come from? I had no opportunity to represent myself. Judgment without representation?
Hello. So yeah.
What did we just say? I knew he was going to fuck it up.
We're not democracy.
I knew he was going to fuck it up.
Yeah. Since when did he think that this was a democracy?
I don't know. He's confused. He must be watching the news too much.
Fair trial, my ass.
Yeah. No, you're on probation for a year. That's the gunner handed out that sentence, so I didn't. So don't screw it up. Hopefully in a year.
Well, you were the appellate court that upheld the lower court conviction.
Yeah, so I thought it was reasonable.
Don't say you're the innocent.
Yeah, for crimes against humanity for not showing up in North Carolina. The only dude that didn't show up in North Carolina.
He had to go to a Britney Spears concert or something.
With his sister. Oh, come on, man. Yeah. Come on, man. So, there was no defense. If there was a defense to be mounted, we would have listened to it because we're reasonable people. But there
you're
is
the
no.
most reasonable people that he's ever come across.
Yeah.
And I know right now he heard that. He just laughed. But
he didn't laugh. He yelled, right? But when your name gets brought up in the same sentence as Fredo in The Godfather, okay, we need to, like, intervene to pull you back from that, okay? We need to save you. Because the last thing we need is somebody going in a lake in Montana with a bullet in them. Nobody needs that, okay? So, So behave yourself. Behave yourself. Don't make us conduct further discipline on your ass. Because we will. Because we love. Because we love, we punish.
Reasonable people. He's getting borderline. He better stop.
I know. He's starting to make the case for extinction. He's another brick in the wall for extinction. Wait, here's a funny.
Bring on the extinction. I'm going to start making signs. Are standing out.
Extinction Countdown Headquarters here. Extinction Headquarters here. Listen to this. The extinction argument is hilarious. I do think this. There should be a federal law enacted that forces anybody who puts anything on the internet to not have a comment section. I agree. Those things are the stupidest things I've ever seen in my life. You know what? Let me just tell you. The article that I went to talk about in the Marine Corps Times, it's an op-ed piece. It's an opinion piece written by an anonymous sergeant in Okinawa or Iwakuni or someplace. Right? And so the New York Times had an article about Lieutenant Hurl, female first lieutenant, the first female infantry officer in the Marine Corps history, right? And she said immediate after that was published, there was all these stupid comments. Well, no shit, man. Where do you think cowards and idiots go? But my problem is that then she turns around and says the Marine Corps needs to do more. Like, wait a minute, the institution, man, is so skewed now to that kind of shit that I think you can make the argument that the American military is preoccupied with social issues, possibly to the detriment of operational readiness. Too much focus on that shit, right? There's real threats around the world. There really is. But what sucks the life out of the room every time it happens? Every time it happens. It's that kind of shit. Now, should we pay attention to it? Absolutely we should. But come on, man. It's like the number one problem in the DOD. Give me a break. Yeah, 50% of our aircraft can't fly. Social issues, maybe not. That's just me. I could be wrong. However, normally I'm not. That's the way that goes. All right, big plans for the weekend? You got a 3-day weekend.
No, not really. I mean, we're just going to take it easy. We're going to probably take off next weekend.
Where are you going?
I mean, everybody's on the road this weekend.
Oh, yeah. Where are you going next weekend?
So, probably go someplace local. I want to hit up the Munster, Texas.
Ooh.
It's like an old German, community.
Really?
Head up there. Yeah.
Munster.
And then, she wants to go camping one day, so as it cools down, we're going to go.
Camping. You bust out all your hooky-roo shit and go camping?
No, not that. Not the camping that I'd like to go. I mean, this is RV camping. Rent an RV and go RV up.
That's pretty fun. We did that. My kids still talk about that and had a blast.
My wife will go camping as long as the camping thing is an air-conditioned device.
You know what?
No bugs can get in.
I'm partial to that, right? Although I would do the other one. I would not be at the top of my list to do go sleep on the ground or something like that. But if it was a beautiful place, I'd be up for it. I think it's always funny, right, to go out and be in the wild and go hiking and stuff like that. Especially if people that, haven't lived outside and stuff like that. I always think that's funny. What do I do now? Well, you got to squat. Yeah, make sure you lean back because you don't want that stuff on your shoes. What? Never mind. Go ahead. No, it's funny. Living in the wild. All right, man. First of all, a great week for both of us personally, and I think All Marine Radio in general. And I could not be happier, honestly, with what's happened. Not only for very personal reasons relative to my sister, but I mean, what you've done, Mike, and touching different people's lives and helping them. And it's just the coolest thing. And I thought that all of our
work and I both
would be focused towards veterans. And it's just awesome. So, well done, man. Have a great weekend.
All right. I'll talk to you later, Mike.
All right, bud. See you. There he is, the one and only Michael Christopher Musselman. Now, you know what? I'm kind of torn whether I should take a break and play I think I'll do it. I'm going to take a commercial break. Normally, I would sign off now, but I'm not going to do that. Yeah, how about that? I'm not going to do it. Ohio Man asked if he missed the press conference that Secretary Mattis and General Dunford gave. And this is the press conference in which Mattis gets asked about exercises on the Korean Peninsula. He says, we've suspended them in the past. I will not suspend those going forward. And then in less than 24 hours, the president contradicts him. So I'm going to tee that up. And then and it goes for about an hour. So, and then you'll hear the replay of the program. So, because I can't get it in next week. Yeah. The show next week is like already stacked. And let me tell you, it's some great, 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 great stuff. So, with that said, we'll take a break. More of All Marine Radio coming up next. A bonus hour, hour number four. You're going to hear, in its entirety, the press conference that Secretary Mattis and the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff did on at the Pentagon, I want to say, 3 days ago? So you'll hear that. So whatever you do, don't touch your dial. More of All Marine Radio coming up next on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.